Welcome to Wizard Team, a Harry Potter cast for true Potterheads. Each week we discuss a chapter from the series with all of our knowledge of the world of Harry Potter. Be warned, this is a spoiler-heavy podcast. I'm Bayana.
And I'm Robin. We're really excited to go through these chapters and discuss all of our thoughts and feelings about the book. Today we're discussing chapter 7 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Will of Albus Dumbledore.
First, we have some announcements and reminders. We want this podcast to be interactive and want to know your thoughts, so please feel free to tweet along with us. Use the hashtag WizardTeam on Twitter to join the conversation.
Love our blog, love WizardTeam, have a few extra galleons flying around. Donate to Black Girls Create. You can become a Patronus or send us a cheering charm at blackgirlscreate.org/donate.
And we have WizardTeam merch, so head over to our website and step up your nerd fashion and stationery game.
And if you want to support us but you don't have the funds to do so, rate and review us on iTunes.
Also subscribe to Black Witches Weekly, our newsletter curated by Wizard Bay Deborah, with nerd news and links to what's been going on. So if you want to be in the know, be sure to subscribe. You can do that at blackgirlscreate.org.
And now for Wizard Team news.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. I have a Wizard Team news thing. It kind of goes with the other thing. It's really quick. So,
I was just going to say Happy New Year first. That was our news. Oh. You just skip right over it. It's our first episode of 2019.
All you wrote in the thing was Happy New Year, so I thought you said it.
I mean, I did, but like, you know, I got to write the exact thing that we say. When do we ever go off of the script?
I'm just saying, I thought that's all you wanted to say.
Okay.
I'm very tired. I'm sleep deprived. Go ahead. Okay.
Well, Happy New Year, y'all, and hope you have had a great first day yesterday. Hope you're having a good second day today. New year, new you, or same you, you know? If you want to do that as well, that's cool.
Same you. New year. Happy impeachment 2019. Just, you know, putting out what I want to see in the world.
I receive it.
Yeah. So... My Wizard Team news that's kind of about the new year, but it's really, I just want to shout out like how awesome our community is, and again, reiterate that if you're not in the Slack, you should totally be in the Slack, because a few days ago, we just had this like very thoughtful, in-depth conversation about disabilities and illnesses in the wizarding world and how the entry on Pottermore doesn't make any goddamn sense, and people were like adding in headcanons and explanations that they thought made sense, and it was just one of those like moments when you like look at it, and I'm also a little delirious because I woke up really early and I drove really far, but I was catching up on the Slack and I was like getting teary-eyed because everyone is so thoughtful and smart and thinks about these things really deeply, and like, there, we have 1,000 bajillion channels about 1,000 bajillion topics. And in all of those channels and all of those disparate topics, like, people are so smart and thoughtful.
Yeah.
And it's just, like,
totally.
A great way to, you know, it gives me faith in humanity, man. And I just wanted to shout that out. And, like, the news is that the best writers, the best people working on stories in the wizarding world is us. The fandom.
And speaking of that, one, like, if series. You want to, well, just to, like, wrap that up, that was a great transition and I was gonna do it, but then I realized I wanted to add a thing. Joining the Slack is really easy. You can go to our website, blackgirlscreate.org, and just scroll down a little bit, and there's a form that you can fill out that just is really just, like, put your email in. There's also a new addition to the website that have the community guidelines, both for our Facebook group and our Slack. It's mostly geared towards Slack because that's, like, what our main kind of... That's where our main and, like, most consistent interaction is. Mostly just because, like, I don't... Neither of us are really... Like, I'm really not on Facebook very often. But if you, you know, you look through that, see, you know, we have a set guidelines that everyone has agreed to, that you agree to when you join, and then you just, like, go and have fun and, like, talk nerd shit, and it's really great, like Robin said. Like, I didn't even get, like, I kind of skimmed the chat that was happening about illness and disability, and I was, like, I loved it. I was just really tired and was on this, like, random-ass road trip, And so I couldn't look at my phone. Like, I was just like, I'm taking it in and this is all great, but I can't even go.
I made them stop. I was like, everyone stop typing.
I saw that.
I'm so my, close
I
to
just had no
up.
Energy to interact, but like, I also appreciated the fact that like, one, we, the two of us don't have to be in there or like have to be active for things to happen like that. And that is really important. And then also too, that we have so many like amazing people in the community who are thinking about these things and thinking about representation and fandom, and specifically because we're Wizard Team, Harry Potter, and those intersections. And then speaking of that, Connie and I did some things.
It was so good.
So since today is January 2nd, so all of them are out now. We did a Kwanzaa-themed series, or BSU series. They're all set in the same universe, which is now called the BSU-verse. It spiraled, but it's cool and it's fun.
I just want to say that,
shout
like,
out
I was,
real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say really quickly, shout out to Delia for being a beta reader slash getting looped in to this stuff. Kind of, like, it's not on purpose. I think that's how a lot of folks who end up doing things with us happens, where, like, it's just a conversation that then spirals and it's like, great, cool, you're like doing this thing now. And I feel like that's happened with literally everyone, including Connie, who is our managing editor.
Connie's
like,
managing Deb, editor. Deb like, runs the newsletter. Portia
literally
has
just
a
like, oh, we have a conversation
series?
And yeah. All of a sudden you're like, whoa,
you're
I'm doing work
I'm interested
that I
in
didn't
this thing, and we're like, well, do we have a job for you?
Man, we got you, bro. We got you. So yeah, but you should check them out. We kind of basically, because you know, they don't celebrate Kwanzaa in Britain, and I doubt they celebrate it in the Wizarding World, but maybe, well, who knows?
They actually do TBD. Celebrate it in Britain. Because when,
oh,
I, was,
they, maybe they do.
When I was looking for, image, mm-hmm. I found one on a British website.
Oh, for sure. So yeah. Like maybe they do now, but it's originally like an African American,
yeah.
It's originated in Africa. In African America, I mean yes.
Yes, in
that's not. I didn't mean to say that, but then it happened.
It works.
It wasn't what I was trying to say, but y'all get what I'm saying. And so, yeah. So we just took the themes of those of like the principles, and not necessarily they're not celebrating Kwanzaa in the world. They're just we're telling stories based on like Nia purpose, or you know.
I just
so
want to say
it was
too,
cool
that
and it's fun.
I feel also another one of my like, New Year's resolutions because like. I have ADD, but also I'm just who I am as a person. I drop things and I miss things and I'm oblivious sometimes. But we were talking, like, I forget which, it must have been Umoja, the original story, and we were talking about Blaze, and then it, like, spiraled out of control.
Well, no, because
then
what happened is it wasn't even that. It was like, we had, I don't even know what the conversation was. Some, I don't know how it brought up, but somehow it was like, we were in, it was me, you, and Connie, and
yeah.
We were talking about Blaze, and then it just, like, went into this and thing,
and
then I was like,
thing.
I'm in a document. I was
yeah,
like,
you guys were
in
the document, and I lost it somehow, because I don't know, I was like, squirrel! And then, like, earlier...
And then Connie was like, last year, Connie was like, I'm gonna do a Kwanzaa series, and
yeah.
I was like, cool, do a Kwanzaa series. And then she didn't get it done in time, so she released Umoja during Black Wizard History Month.
Yeah.
And then she was like, hey, we should still do the Kwanzaa series, and I was like... Okay.
I know, and I was just, like, so excited because, like you said, like, these things, like, it may seem like we work with the same people or whatever, but really it started with, like, someone wrote a BSU post, and then our brains went really in-depth into Blaze, and you and Connie actually are writers with follow-through, and you followed through, and then I was just sitting there like, oh, shit! Look at all this stuff! This is great! When did
content.
This happen? Wow! What was happening with me? Did I fall asleep? I must have fallen asleep! But I'm happy. Yay.
It's funny because this is actually my second, third, and fourth fanfic ever.
Love it.
So that's cool.
And they're
very,
all great.
And it's been a great distraction for, or not distraction, but like a break from like
other
my own
projects.
Stuff. Because that's what I've been needing to take a break. So it's a good brain, because it's
brain
so much
vacation.
Easier. It's so much easier to write
oh, yeah.
in someone else's world.
Oh, yeah.
And you can write, I can write short things in the Wizarding World.
Yeah,
10
right?
Pages.
That's amazing.
That's
right?
It.
I know.
That's crazy.
When I did Howler of History, I was like, well, I have this like thing in my head. And I knocked that shit out in a day. Like,
shit's easy.
I literally did it in like 20 minutes. And then I like went back to it. And I added
yeah.
and moved some things around. But like literally, like the bulk of the work
I
did was in
honestly,
20 minutes.
My first drafts for mine were, like, done in, like, a week. Like, I, like, Connie had been writing hers and sending them in or whatever, and I was like, okay, I can't start until, because I was finishing some stuff up, so I was like, I can't start until whatever. And so the minute once I started, I was just like, bam, here's another one. Bam, here's another one. And then I was like, how did this happen? This would never be easy.
In your own world.
If it was my own thing. But I think part of that is like, it's your head, you get in your own head. It's also, you have to make up so much more stuff, whereas like in the Wizarding World at this point, it's made up.
Yeah.
So you really are just like,
moving people
adding
around
to this, or like playing around with things that are already there.
Or fixing things
anyway,
that are broken.
Yeah. So anyway, you should read those. But also in February, we are going to have Black Wizard History Month again. And so that will include fan fiction. That will include perhaps we need to officially announce this soon, but we are trying to do a live wizard team in February.
Yes.
So that is a thing that's going to happen. And we'll have like actual like flashing light details, flyers.
Like,
we'll do that like in the next week or two.
Yeah, crazy ideas for Black Wizard History Month, and
some of them may happen.
Some may happen. Some may not happen. We may want them to happen this year, but they'll happen in next year. Like the whole Kwanzaa series thing. We'll see how it goes. But I love this. Is like my favorite time of the year. And if you guys have like any ideas, send them out to us. We're excited. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so there will be, I'm going to be, now that it's a new year, we're working on the content calendar, getting stuff. If y'all have Hogwarts BSU pieces, you want to just like slide to me, you've been like on the low, like I'm working on this thing, like hit me up. Cause February, we had a whole month full of fun and things.
And if you don't have Hogwarts BSU pieces, check out our, Critical Companion series and see if there's something in there you want to write about.
Exactly. Our Critical
new
Companion
year,
series for February is going to be about blackness in Harry Potter and like whether that's like in world or like being a fan of Harry Potter as being black. Check out our website. It's on there.
Okay, let's go.
Yes. So all of
I'm
those
gonna
things.
Fall asleep mid I'm gonna snore like mid chapter.
I think you'll be fine.
I hope so.
There's a lot happening in this chapter. I don't think it falls.
So much
happening. Okay. So, previously on Wizard Team, I don't know why it feels like we last recorded, like, a month ago.
Can I just tell you? So, I was, like, telling my mom, like, I have to leave on this day. She's like, just stay one extra day. And I was, like, halfway through and my friend wanted to go see Into the Spider-Verse again, which I did, and it's still amazing. It's great. And then it was, like, 5:00, and I was like, oh, shit. I know why. I had to leave yesterday because I have to record. Because it's a whole new week.
Mm-hmm.
Though it feels like it's been a month.
Mm-hmm. But also, I guess that makes sense. It's like holidays. Everything moves slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've done lost track of time.
I baked all of the cookies.
Me too. And cake.
Five. I didn't make a cake.
It was yummy.
Boop. I did make a lot of, like, I made mulled wine a lot. Which my mom then stuck to the movie theater, which I thought was hilarious.
I made cider.
I almost made cider.
And, yeah. Okay.
Anyway. Previously
on Wizard
Team. Last month. Last year on Wizard Team.
So Mrs. Weasley is trying to figure out why the trio are forsaking their education in the year of our Lord Voldemort. And
who's Lord Voldemort? Who's man's? Who's?
Their man's. The year of their Lord Voldemort.
There you go.
Yeah. And Harry's like, I don't really know what to tell you, fam. Like, I mean, I get it and I appreciate you, but like, also, it is that way.
A 70-plus-year-old noseless man out here trying to murk me, and I just feel like Hogwarts isn't the place to be.
No,
I don't feel like I should roll out the red carpet so he can kill me. Make it a little difficult, keep him moving, just keep him on his toes, be scrappy.
Bob and weave.
Bob and weave.
So then, what else happened? So then because of that, Mrs. Weasley is trying to, like, keep the three of them separate so that they don't have time to plan so they can delay their adventure, which, like, is, not intuitive, but, like, whatever. The Delacours come to come for the wedding. They're like, so now the house is like bursting at the seams, because there are like at least 20 people in the Burrow, and it's not made for that
at all.
Everyone is still reeling from Mad-Eye's death. And
yep.
Harry decided in that moment that he forgot who he was and the fact that he had done no research whatsoever on Horcruxes and was really just waiting on Hermione to do it. And so then, but instead of, he forgot that and was like, it's cool. Y'all just go back to school. I got this.
I can
on my own,
it.
By myself. I know nothing. I don't know where any of the Horcruxes are. I don't know how to destroy them.
I gotta find 7 things in this country.
No idea. That's well, all not, I seven. Know. Not 7.
6.
Like
5.
5. 4 or 5.
I have to find 5 things in this country. And
I have no, I don't know where to start.
But
I don't
I'm
know
good.
Where to end. I don't know how to
I
destroy
know that there's
it.
5 of them.
I don't know where to find so the thing to destroy go. It. But I got this.
I know that there's 5 of them, and that's all I need to know so y'all can go.
Right. And then Hermione and Ron were like, you know how much we actually sacrificed to do this thing? We're doing this thing. And then Harry's like, wow, friends, how many
oh
of us
have Oh my god,
been?
Portia just brought up something sad.
Oh, damn.
Or not what'd sad, you, what'd, but a milestone.
What'd she say?
It's the last Black Wizard History Month as a part of the original read-through of Wizard Team.
Oh.
Next Black Wizard History Month, we will... We don't know what we'll be doing
something.
On Wizard Team, but...
I don't. Wow.
We will have finished the books.
Wow.
Yeah. 3 years it took us.
I mean, like, this year... Wait, okay, this is one of the things I was gonna say.
We did our reading.
In the news. No, in New Year's... So, it, like... You know how many times we said, oh, we'll get to that in 3 years, or we'll get to that in 4 years? Y'all, it's 4 years.
Yeah.
This is our 4th year. Oh, my God. Okay, it's not the time. When we get to July, then we can have these feelings. We don't need to have them yet. We're only on chapter 7. So yes, and then Molly asks Harry what he wants for his birthday, because he's turning 17, and that's a big deal, trademark. And he's like, please don't do too much, because I honestly, like, I already know, like, you're going to try to do too much, and we don't have the time. So
Ooh,
please
chill.
Woo Chile. Chapter 7. The Will of Albus Dumbledore.
They open Albus's will and it says, Dear Harry, never mind. Hermione's gonna do it all by herself. Chill out. And
just stay at the Burrow. You'll be good.
You'll be good. Bob and weave, but Hermione's gonna do the actual labor. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Love you.
Mm-hmm.
And next week on Wizard Team,
P.S.
we'll be reading chapter
8. P.S. I'm sorry I didn't tell you everything about the Horcruxes. Here's a detailed step-by-step guide. You just pass over to Hermione.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but what really happened? Chapter 7. So he first starts off with this dream that he's having where he's Voldemort. And he is walking along a mountain road, searching for a man who held the answer to his problem. And then he's woken up by Ron, who's like, you've been muttering in your sleep. You keep saying Gregorovitch. And Harry's like, who's Gregorovitch? Ron is like, well, I don't know. I didn't say
it. I'm not the one muttering
in my
sleep.
that was you. Just so like we're all on the same page. Gregorovitch is a wand maker. And he in somewhere in Europe. It's
Germany?
Not clear. Maybe. Or Bulgaria, like it's not clear. It's definitely not in like
in Eastern Europe,
the UK,
somewhere.
In Eastern Europe. Yes, there we go, in Eastern Europe. And he made Victor Crumb's wand, so he's
yes.
like the Ollivander of Eastern Europe.
Yes.
Although Ollivander is a little, I think what was that in Goblet of Fire? He's like, yeah, I mean, like I wouldn't make wands this way, but like you do you. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like to each his own.
Yeah. But
so.
You know what's really funny is, like, because of all of the stuff, I'm like, now I'm like, would you not make wands this way, Ollivander, because you're a colonialist? Like,
mm-hmm.
only believe in the one way to do things? And or is it really, like, that's a bad way to make wands? What's the truth?
Both and.
Tell the truth!
Honestly, I thought it was just some, like, professional petty, you know?
Okay, I could see that, too.
I thought of it more as that. I mean, he's cool, but...
I thought of it as,
you know
like
what I mean? Like, they're like, direct... I mean, I don't know if they're direct competitors, but...
Yeah.
Because I don't know how that works, but, like, they...
I thought of it as him being, like, Gregorovitch cuts corners and dabbles in some wand cores that are a little suspect.
Mm.
A little, you know, like, cross the line into the dark arts, into the little...
Right.
Like, you know, samples a little evil. That's how I took it.
Just a little sprinkle.
Just a little sprinkle. Just
sprinkle of evil.
A little sprinkle of evil.
Yeah, for sure. So then Harry says, Harry has a vague idea that he had heard the name before but could not think where. I think Voldemort's looking for him. Poor bloke, said Ron. Just like, I mean, at that point, like, what else are you gonna say? Like, wow, that sucks to be him.
I mean, it's like when you know that you did something, or you don't even know if you did something, and some kid comes back and goes, your mama looking for you, and you're just like, oh, shit. I don't know what I did, but I don't want it.
But, no, thank you.
And all the kids you hang out with are just like, oh, shit. And you're just like,
ooh.
Yep. Gotta walk the plank. But the plank is Voldemort.
Oof.
Oh,
it's unfortunate.
Unfortunate.
So then Harry says that he thinks Voldemort is abroad. He saw didn't look like anywhere in Britain. And then he says, don't tell Hermione, although how she expect me to stop seeing stuff in my sleep? I don't know, maybe Aquamancy?
Yeah. Because
isn't that like the thing you're supposed to empty your mind before bed and then that's how you don't? Mm-hmm. But like, it's fine. It's cool. It's fine.
He needs a meditation room.
That ship has sailed.
Like, hey Molly, I know the burrow is packed to the brim and you're sleeping in the living room, but can we like clear out a closet so I can have a meditation room, some incense, some sage I can burn before bed, a pensieve. Oh my god, a pensieve would be the best to like go to sleep, because you know when you overthink, you just sitting there thinking, but you could just empty all your thoughts before bed, just like
Like, just give me, like, let me just wait on that till tomorrow.
I'll put it all back
in tomorrow.
I'll put
you back in my head. Well, because you know how many times that I've, like, and this has been happening to me at least since high school, but probably before that, where I'll be asleep, minding my own business.
And you wake up with the
and then
anxiety?
All of a sudden, I'm like, wait, shit, I didn't do this. And it's, like, 3 in the morning. Where did that thought come from? I was asleep. Like, I was passed all the way out, like, hit REM and everything. And then it was like, but wait, what if this, I didn't do this. And now all of a sudden I'm stressed. But anything I could do, trash.
Wow.
It's garbage.
Yeah, you didn't have to, you know, tag me out like that. You just didn't have to do me.
My fault, bro. Like, that's just a thing that has happened to me often.
Ooh.
It's, yeah. Garbage. So then Ron is like, oh no, so Harry says that he thinks that Gregorovitch has something to do with Quidditch, and Ron's like, are you sure you're not thinking of Gorgovitch? Who was a chaser transferred to the Chudley Cannons for a record fee 2 years ago, record holder for the most quaffle drops in a season.
Is that good?
No, that dropping sounds... the quaffle.
I was going to say.
So I think he was traded because they thought he was going to do something. And then what he did...
was drop all the quaffles.
Was drop the quaffles.
Can I just say, as someone who had to watch Arsenal drop all the balls, we lost 5-1. 5-1 to Liverpool. Yikes. My cousin Leah's
score 5 points squad. In soccer. That's wild.
So Leah was just talking crap the whole time.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay, so Harry's like, I'm definitely not thinking about Gorgovitch. I try not to either, said Ron. Well, happy birthday anyway. And Harry's like, wow, that's right, I forgot. I'm 17. And then he tries to summon his glasses, which he's like super excited that he can do that, except then he gets poked in the eye. And then he's like just doing hellish. He's just wilding out, basically. He's like, I can use magic now. Flick, flick.
He said,
like,
yo, twins. Hold my beer.
Just went straight. He just was like, loopty loop, like Wingardium Leviosa, flash bang, bloop blop, like bling blow, all that with his wand. And Ron is just like, cool. Make sure that you zip up your fly, you know, XYZ.
Yep.
And then gives Harry his present, which is 12 fail safe ways to charm witches.
Ugh.
Which doesn't say who wrote it, so that's like a thing, but these kind of books are always kind of like why, and like, no, just like be a decent human being and like talk to people how you would talk to girls how you would talk to any human being, because
guess what, girls are human beings.
Human beings. I know that that's like.
I think you just won a Nobel Prize. I think that is like.
I was gonna say, like, I know that that's like controversial discovery. And like, who's ever said that before? And even like, who's ever thought that? That's crazy, right? Like, human beings? Wow. But like, you know.
I don't know. I think that you just set yourself up to win the Nobel Prize in science. Because I think you just like made a breakthrough that will change the face of society as we know it.
Right, right.
You know?
I'm waiting on my honorary PhD.
We don't even need a cure for cancer. You just solved it. World peace? You just did that.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god. Real quick, to feels, because that's what Maggie wanted to bring us.
No.
She says, it's not that bad. She says it's so sad that Harry's birthday has been overlooked for his whole childhood that he doesn't think much of it other than being able to do magic now. And I think there's also, like, I mean, it's the same with, like, Christmas, where he, at this point, like, you know, his friends give him presents and he's been giving them to them as well, or, like, giving them presents as well, but, like, I think he very much is, it's always an afterthought. Like, oh, yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah.
And, like, he likes it, but it's very much not, like, he's just kind of been trained to not
expect think or, about it or, yeah, not make a big deal out of it. I will say, though, like, to some people, though, like, celebrations and stuff like that just aren't a big deal.
No, and that's fine.
I think it's great.
But I also think that, like, if he...
But he is, like a kid, that it would so be it a big, should be a bigger deal.
You said what?
He's still a kid, so maybe it should be a bigger deal. Like,
and also, this is a milestone...
Birthday.
You know what I mean? And, like, not to say that, like, he has to be excited about it. And it's also not to say that, like, if the Dursleys had... given him birthday parties and like actually, you know, acknowledge the fact the day that he was born that he would
have a different event.
Reaction. But I think that like, you know, having it just be acknowledged, like Maggie's saying, like, period. Right? Yeah. Because they would literally just ignore it. And like, meanwhile, the month before Dudley's getting this like lavish like thing, like, oh, we're going to the zoo and we're getting three different kinds of ice cream and like just like all this kind of stuff, and then like, your birthday comes and like nothing. It just
trash.
It doesn't have to be like a big thing, but just the fact that people are even remembering that it's his birthday, or like, you know, I'm sure the Dursleys knew, but they're purposefully ignoring it. So having people who are acknowledging it, I think, is just clutch.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ron talks about if he had read that Fred and George gave him a copy, and he's learned a lot, and if he had had it last year, he'd have known how to get rid of Lavender and how to get going with ... he just kind of, but we know it's Hermione, but also like, just don't be an asshole. Hermione already likes you. Lavender liked you, but like, you could just break it, like, just whatever.
And also, so, like, how to get rid of Lavender.
Like, that's just...
You're trash. You're just... I love Ron so much, but the older I get, it's like, God, he was trash the whole time. The whole time he was trash. Why did nobody tell me? Ain't nobody gonna tell me, Ron. The character that I'm like, he's so funny. He's got all the heart.
He does.
Like... He was trash the whole
time. Those are all facts.
Time.
Both and, you know, we contain multitudes.
Multitudes of trash. Ron. Like, take a breath.
My God.
Woo.
Okay, so then they go downstairs to the kitchen where there's a pile of presents waiting on the table.
A pile.
Harry opens Mr. and Mrs. Weasley's present, which is a watch, very much like the one that Ron had gotten for his 17th. It was gold with stars circling around the face inside the hands. It's traditional to give a wizard a watch when he comes of age. I'm afraid this one isn't new like Ron's. It was actually my brother Fabian's, and he wasn't terribly careful with his possessions. It's a bit dented on the back. So this is like the first time that either of the Pruitt brothers are mentioned in actual relation to Molly.
But also, and... Well, do we get their stories in
Order of the Phoenix? So we learn that they were killed by Death Eaters.
Yeah.
But like, you know, they didn't go down without a fight or nothing. But it was in that thing where Mad-Eye was like, hey, Harry, look at all these people in the picture who died. Yeah. But they were in that picture. But then we don't get, like, I think there might have been maybe another, I don't know that there was many mentions of them. So like, even when, because I believe Was it Dalahav who killed the Pruitts?
I do not know.
It might have been Dalahav who killed the Pruitts. And when he escapes in Order of the Phoenix, I remember, I think we had talked about how it was kind of weird that, like, it says, like, this person murdered the Pruitts, and then, like, Ron and Weasleys haven't, like, you know, they're concerned about the breakout in a way that, like,
yeah,
just because, like, they generally are, but it didn't feel as much as personal, mm-hmm. As it probably
as it definitely did
should
to, like,
have been,
Neville
or, like, would have,
or,
yeah.
And it should have been.
Right. It should have been. It was just kind of, like, a miss. Because that was, like, literally there. It's Molly's brothers.
Yeah. But also, I just want to, like, this is Harry as her son.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's giving a family, like, not just, like, a family heirloom of, like, oh, this is my brother's watch and you'll meet him at the wedding. Like, this is my dead brother.
Mm-hmm.
Who died at the hands of Voldemort and his funky-ass followers. And this might be one of the only, like, physical possessions of his that I own. And it's yours, because I got to keep it in the family, because you're my family.
Mm-hmm.
I got to take a nap.
So Harry got up and hugged her. He tried to put a lot of unsaid things into the hug, and perhaps she understood them, because she patted his cheek clumsily when he released her. So I just, like, even though we were, you know, Molly was doing the most in the last chapter, like, I really, really do like her relationship with Harry.
Yes.
And the way that she just kind of, like, took him in without even really a thought.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, oh, my son's just took this illegal car across the country and brought back a child. Cool. He's mine now.
he gave me a child, they're
getting in trouble, but, like, he's mine
but
now.
But hey,
so, like,
do you want some
whatever.
Sausage? You want some breakfast?
We good.
Yeah.
We good. So, like, that consistency, I think, is really great. And the fact that she was really, like, committed to doing that.
Yeah.
Great.
And it's never really wavered at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even when, like, Ron is tripping, she's like, whatever. Brothers fight. You'll get over it.
Right. So we see Hermione got him a new sneakoscope, which hopefully they'll actually pay attention to. Because they did not do that the last time.
Nope.
Bill and Flora got him an enchanted razor. The Delacours got him chocolates. And then Fred and George got him an enormous box of the latest Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. Which, like, again, is this a present if he, like, can have them for free anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
The
I personally
that
just wanted to check. Yes.
Listen.
And not even, like, in an ungrateful way. I'm just curious about, like,
yeah.
What's the word? Like, the rules.
Right.
So cool. So Hermione takes all of Harry's gifts and are like, I'll pack these for you. I'm just waiting on the rest of your underpants to come out of the wash, Ron. And Ron's like, what? But, and this is as they're leaving the kitchen to go up to the room. And then they're, interrupted by Ginny.
Can we just skip this
who
part?
Asks, no, we cannot. She asks Harry to come into her room for a moment. Ron comes to an abrupt halt, but Hermione's like, bro, if you don't just...
Giggity, giggity,
he, like,
giggity.
Basically drags him up the stairs. She goes in. Ginny's like, happy 17th. And Harry's like, thanks.
And then they have sex.
No. So then he's like, she's like, I couldn't think of what to get you. And Harry's like, you didn't have to get me anything, because he's so obtuse, but it's okay. He didn't realize what was going down.
She's like, because... I'm about to give you this, I'm about to take your V.
Yikes. But didn't we already decide
give you this loving.
That's what had happened, because...
Right, right, you guys are right.
I don't know, it doesn't matter. Anyway, she's like, I didn't know it would be useful. Nothing too big, because you wouldn't be able to take it with you. Like, she's really out here, she's trying to have game. And then... Harry glances at her. She was not tearful. That was one of the many wonderful things about Ginny. She was rarely weepy. Which I'm like, I mean, okay, but this also feels very much like
Cho
a she's
shade.
Not like other girls
Cho shade.
Thing.
This is Cho shade.
And it's Cho shade. I didn't even think about Cho.
This
that's
is Cho
why
shade.
I was like something really like hit, like I don't like this sentence. And that's why. It's Cho shade. And it's also one of those like she's not like other girls, even though it's like, are other girls really weepy? Or are you just
yeah. Delia says, read faster by Anna, because she cannot. And then she
I'm
gave
skipping
us
things,
the,
okay?
Us,
I skipped over the entire description of Ginny's bedroom.
She
thank
gave
you very
us
much.
The vomit, and now she is taping.
Yeah.
The Cho shade has got to go. The anti-femme has got to go. I feel like this should be like on a in a chair. The Cho shade has got to go. The anti-femme has got to go.
And also, how would he know?
And also, how would you know?
And then, how would he know all caps?
In all caps.
Negated for literally 3 weeks. Exactly. Okay, let's just keep going.
Where are the Toros to do this?
The other thing, too, is I just want to say, they are not broken up. Like, I need him to stop saying, like, we broke up so that Voldemort... We'll get there. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. So then she's like, so then I thought, I'd like to get you something to remember me by, you know, if you meet some Vila while you're off doing whatever you're doing. I'm just like,
running from his, trying to save his life and the lives of all the Wizarding World.
But I mean, but what about the Vilas? She has to make sure that he doesn't forget her.
I mean, listen, I know that one time when I had to go on the run because there was a psychopathic mass murdering fascist after me, I did have this like really hot and heavy fling. It was, we took, like, 2 weeks. We walked on the beach. We did, like, those long sandy walks and everything like that. So, like, you know, I could see that being something that she would be concerned about. I mean, mostly I spent my time hiding, scared for my life, crying, and missing my family. But there was that, like, time. There was that 2 weeks where that was, like,
2 weeks.
It got really hot and heavy with this hot, like, Vila dude. There are no Vila dudes, are there? No.
I don't know. So Delia says this is the most cliche grossness. And it's actually funny because, like, reading this when I was younger, like, the first time I read it, I was just like, okay, yeah. I mean, also, I didn't really question really any of the, like, relationships. I was just like, whatever. It says that's what's happening, so that's what's happening. You know what I mean? And it was only as I got older and read the book more and more that I was just like, I mean, the Harry and Jenny one, definitely at the beginning, I had a little stumble where I was like, word?
Well, for me, though, it was always that. Where did this come from? But I never questioned, like...
Yeah, I was like, that was the only one where I was like, where did it come from? And then I just let it go.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, okay, cool. They're in love. I'm just operating on where they're in love. Cool, whatever.
Thank God I read these. I mean, not thank God, but I am glad that I read these younger. Because that was, like, one of the things where The Hunger Games is also... We should do a Mockingjay team. I don't know. Anyway, The Hunger Games is like one of the other like really great series that I loved, and that like ruined it for me from jump. But also, they came out when I was an adult, and I was just like, Katniss, you don't have the time. Like, put it on the shelf, unpack that shit when you're alive, and not in fear for your life at all times.
For real.
And Maggie says that Harry shouldn't Harry be concerned that Ginny isn't a little upset about him going into certain danger? And Imani says, no, that's their kink.
Yes.
And Delia says, hi, I'm Harry Potter, and danger is my kink. And you remember back in the news when I said that whole thing about the Slack and our community and how great they are? Take it back. Take it all back.
Oh my gosh. So then Ginny says, there's the silver lining I was looking for. And then she kissed him as she had never kissed him before. And Harry was kissing her back. And it was blissful oblivion, better than fire whiskey. Ugh. She was the only real thing in the world, Ginny. The feel of her. One hand at her back and one in her long, sweet-smelling hair.
Ugh. I'm glad someone's enjoying this.
Y'all. And my thing is like, it makes me laugh that Harry really thought they was breaking up. Like, who else? Like, Voldemort is not... Just because you broke up with somebody does not mean that you no longer have feelings for them. And Voldemort is going to see if they... Like, you know, obviously things didn't go
also, if she crosses paths with Voldemort, possible. She's dead anyway.
Right. It's first of all, she's dead anyway. Second of all, it's completely possible for him to, like, say Jenny runs into Voldemort. And then Harry's like... Or then he's like, oh, let's lose some occlumency. Who are you? I mean, because he wouldn't know that it was just the Horcrux. But he'd be like, who are you? And then finds out, oh, you dated Harry Potter? Oh, he broke up with you because he didn't want me to know that he loved you? Oh, cool. He loves you. Great. Let's do this. Like, Birdman hand rub. Right. Like, all right.
Also, I just feel like it needs to be said again that if she came across Voldemort kills fools because it's a Tuesday.
Right. He's like, I guess the logic here is just like it's just a way for us to be tortured over a relationship that only lasted 3 weeks. Like, they literally, it was Sectum Semper, and then Jenny was like, wow, I really do love you a lot, and so we're just gonna, like, walk around the lake and hold hands, and then you're gonna go off to the cave, and that's it.
And you're gonna break up with me because you don't want Voldemort to find out. And Voldemort's like, on Wednesdays, we wear pink and Cruciatus
also, people. I'm pretty sure Snape found out. Like, Snape would know. Yeah. And could because, like, he had Harry on...
During that
love... On weekends.
Yeah.
For detention. So he wouldn't... And, like, as much as Snape probably wouldn't want to know about, like, the goings-on in relationships of, like, students at Hogwarts,
Snape...
He knows about Harry Potter at the very least. Like, there's no way.
And also, I feel like Snape lives for the drama.
I'm very confused.
He follows all of their Instagram accounts and has a lot to say on the it couples of the day.
It's just a lot. Delia says also this is kind of really manipulative. Like, if Harry was truly needing space, she's out here like, but I want you to think about me while you're out there trying to save the world. And I get that. I think the only, like, I think it's still a little manipulative, but, like, he was very clear with her why he broke up with her.
Yeah.
Like, he did very much say, like, oh, it's just because, like, Voldemort. But, like, I still really mess with you, though. And, like, I would be with you, but, like, Voldemort. Tom just, man, he just really be getting in the way of people.
And it's so funny because Tom's just sitting there like, I love Love. What are you talking about? Love Actually is my all-time favorite movie. What are you talking about? Why would I ever, I would never get in the way of, like, puppy love. Like, that is why I'm here. Tom's like, have you seen To All the Boys I've Loved Before? They wrote that about me. They took that out of straight out of my diary.
Oh, no.
It was all of the boys that I loved. I
don't want that crossover.
And killed and made horcruxes. To all the horcruxes I made before.
Yikes. Okay, so then the door bangs open and they jump apart because really, so they were about to get it on. Like, that's what, that was what Ginny's,
gift was
going to
be.
She's
wearing matching, panty sets.
She was like, it's happening now. I don't, like, if this was really what she was trying to do, though, I don't know why she would have asked with, like, Ron there, but it's fine. Or, like, asked to talk to Harry with Ron there, if that makes sense. So then Ron's like, oh, sorry. Hermione is just behind him, slightly out of breath. So, like, he, like, ducked and dodged her. He, like, broke her ankles and then ran back down the stairs.
He cock-blocked him like a
that's
ball
what happened. I'm so irritated about it. Like, I get, like the Ginny and Harry stuff is, like, a lot and very just, like, it's just not good. But, like, writing-wise, it's not good. But then you got Ron out here. So, like, on the one hand, you're like, wow, thank you for cutting that short. Because, like,
yikes,
didn't need that anymore. But also, Ron, what are you doing? Like, please.
Cock blocking.
My God. Just trash. And then Jenny is like, well, happy birthday anyway, Harry. And then Harry's shining moment had popped like a soap bubble. All the reasons for ending his relationship with Ginny, for staying well away from her, seemed to have slunk inside the room.
How are you staying well away from her? Are you sleeping up the stairs?
It doesn't make sense. And it's just not going to save her. And we know that Harry is not good at plans. So this is just one of those things.
Also, Delia makes a great point that this is a terrible plan for a first time. In your family's house in the middle of the day. Like, it's not even midday. It's still breakfast time.
And, like, in your family's house, well, it's, like, full to the brim. Like, there's, like, nowhere for folks to go. Like, you could at least take him over the hill, like, to the orchard or some shit. Like,
right. It's still breakfast time. They're, like, your parents and your soon-to-be
folks going up and down. Like,
in-laws.
Molly might have your laundry. She might be coming in. Like, oh, Jenny, shit. Like...
You didn't even Alohomora or whatever. You didn't even lock... What's the opposite of Alohomora? You didn't do that to the door?
Colicortus, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not
just,
a good plan.
Just, you know,
And Ron is your brother. You know him. I don't know. Maybe you don't know him. Have you met Ron? This was a bad plan. Yeah.
It was all bad. It's just... The writing's bad. The scenario.
Hey, man. It's consistent.
Remember when we used to read these books and just loved it and that's it?
It's consistent. I don't remember, but
yeah. No Muffliato, Maggie said.
Right? I mean, you have magic. Use it.
Oh my god. Like, you're of age now, Harry. Right. Like, Jenny can't do it, but you can.
Like, if you wanted to, you know, do the damn thing, do the damn thing, but be, like, be prepared.
Man. Moving on. So he looked at Jenny, and she had turned her back on him. He thought that she might have succumbed for once to tears. I just, y'all couldn't hear my eyes rolling, but that's just what happened.
I just don't understand, especially for someone who cried as much as he cried in the last two.
And then I also just think that, like, saying that she doesn't cry is such a, like, disservice to, like, all the trauma that she's been through.
Right?
Like, not, like, and I mean,
and you just, don't, like, have to cry.
Show aside. You don't, like, have show to cry. Aside, but, right? But, like, she has some, like, serious.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, things that she deals with on her own. And so then to be like, oh, I like that she doesn't cry, just sounds like, you sound like an asshole. Yeah. Like, what?
But it's also like, she doesn't, maybe she doesn't cry, but she bottles it all inside. It doesn't make her coping right. with it any better or stronger because she doesn't cry.
Exactly.
I cry a lot. I'm plenty strong. I cry all the time, actually. And I think the reason why I'm strong is because I cry so much. I just get it out. Get out of the way.
Can't relate, but, like, you know, different strokes for different folks. Yikes. Okay, so Ron marched downstairs through the still crowded kitchen and into the yard. Harry kept pace with him all the way, Hermione trotting along behind, looking scared. Then Ron rounds on Harry. You ditched her. What are you doing now, messing her around? And Harry's like, I'm not. She was really cut up when you ended it. So was I. You know why I stopped it, and it wasn't because I wanted to. So, like, I do want to point, like, Ron is blaming Harry. Ron is blaming Harry, but also, like, first of all, Ginny is the one who called him in. Like, were there, you saw it. Ginny said, hey, Harry, can I talk? Can you come in here for a second? Mm-hmm. Harry didn't march up like, oh, y'all go ahead. I'm gonna knock on Ginny's door. Like, that's not what happened. I do understand, like, wanting to be protective of his sister and, like, especially because of the three of them, given, you know, because Harry hasn't been at the Burrow, or wasn't at the Burrow for the beginning of the uh-huh. summer, and Hermione was at home until she
was Seven not. Potters.
She was at home for maybe, like, a week, and then she sent her parents away, but, like, I understand, like, he would have seen her have issues, but then also, yeah. like, if Ginny doesn't cry, then, like, how, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that Ron can see, like, how emotional she is about it and can understand that part, and so then when he sees Harry trying to, like, or, like, interacting with her in a way that could maybe get her hopes up, like, I get why he would be that way. The problem is it wasn't written that way, and so it wouldn't make sense for him to interpret it that way, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Or he's, again, because he is a chauvinist pig, he's expecting Harry to somehow be a better man and say, no, Ginny, we can't, and I'm gonna right. go, or whatever, and it's all on
but
Harry.
But he's 17, and,
Ginny
and he loves
But also, Ginny right. doesn't play a role in it. Ginny's wants and needs don't mm-hmm. play a role. Ginny asked him
yeah,
to come in.
Yeah, it absolutely does not take into account her agency at all.
Yeah. It's all on Harry to, like, squash it and make sure that it doesn't mm-hmm. happen.
Mm-hmm. Harry's like, she's not an idiot. She knows it can't happen. She's not expecting us to end up married, or, and then he has a vivid image of Ginny in a white dress marrying a tall, faceless, and unpleasant stranger.
What? Honestly, what?
What's really funny is that this paragraph, I hate how it begins, but I like how it ends.
How? How do you like how
so it
ends?
It ends with, her future was free and unencumbered, whereas his, he could see nothing but Voldemort ahead. And so I like that he's, like, very much at this point is very much on some, like, this is just my life. It's like how I felt 2 days ago after cleaning the house, and then my back was just, like, in a lot of pain. And I was like, wow, this is the rest of my life. Like, I'm just going to have, like, back pain for the rest of my life. And, like, you know, once you've accepted that, it's fine. But every once in a while, it just hits you again. And you're like, yo, this is just how my life is. And I think that in that moment, in that moment, I'm very sleepy. Like, it's a thing that he's known that, like, the end, like, where I'm ending, where my path is leading me is to Voldemort. But then that means that he's losing a lot as well. And, like, you can take Ginny out of that or keep her in it. But regardless, that's just, like, a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then Harry's like, it won't happen again. And then Ron looks half resentful.
No shit, because you're leaving.
Yeah. And then Ron looks half resentful, half sheepish, and is like, right then. Well, that's, yeah. So then Ginny didn't seek another one-on-one meeting with Harry for the rest of the day. And she basically just ignores it. She's like, nothing happened. Whatever. And then Charlie arrives.
Hey!
This is the part that will... that someone here will like.
Hey!
Which provided a distraction because Weasley forced him into a chair and raised her wand threateningly, announcing that he was about to get a proper haircut.
Don't you
which
dare.
Always confused me because I always thought Bill was the one with the long hair.
No,
because
in the movies they just shoved them together. But I think Bill also
no,
has long
because
hair.
Bill is the one. He had a ponytail and a fang in his like his ear, in his earring, and Ron and Harry was like, he looks cool. Like, that was, like, the thing, because he thought he would look like a Percy, and he looks cool. Like, yeah. He literally wears a fang.
But
so, and maybe Charlie has both. Long hair, too, but in my head, I always got that confused, because I was like, wasn't that Bill? Like, wasn't that the Bill thing?
But I don't think Charlie's not to say is, like, they both cool, can. Long. In my brain, and I know because I spent a lot of time with Charlie, in my brain,
mm-hmm.
Charlie's hair isn't the cool ponytail. Like, Bill goes down to Diagon Alley and gets, like, a blowout. Like, Charlie is just living rough.
Not a blowout.
Yeah. Charlie just, he don't got a lineup. He don't have no shape to it. It's just how it's growing out of his head. Some parts are thin, so some parts are shorter than others because, like, you know, it got singed off by dragon's breasts.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's a little matted in some places. Like, he's just living. He looked like a Ocean Beach hippie. Like a hippie from, I don't know, like a Berkeley People's Park loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You see it.
Yeah, I do. I do know.
Meanwhile, Bill
I do know.
Has his hair in a man bun. Using the sleek easies.
Oh my god.
He's got layers. He's got, like, a feathering situation going on.
Ooh.
And they make fun of each other.
I mean, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then at Harry, so there's Harry's birthday dinner is outside because there is just not enough room at all. Fred and George bewitched a number of purple lanterns all emblazoned with the large number 17 hanging in midair over the guests. George's wound was now neat and clean, which is nice, thanks to Mrs. Weasley. Hermione made purple and gold streamers erupt from the end of her wand and draped them over the trees, and then turned the leaves gold, and Ron says, nice, you've really got an eye for that sort of thing. Thank you, Ron, said Hermione, looking both pleased and a little confused. And then Harry realized that he might find a chapter on compliments in 12 fail-safe ways to charm witches, which is just like
gross.
Or just treat him like a human being. If you really honestly think that he has an eye for that sort of thing, just say that shit and mean it. It don't have to, why'd you have to read a book to know to compliment people? Like, I just don't. For them to then for her to be, thank you, Ron. Like, are you serious? This book, really? This book is all that?
He has yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I wonder, did she learn these spells at Hogwarts? Because, like, Harry don't know how to fix glasses. But she can turn leaves purple and gold. Okay.
He can fix his glasses now.
That's true. But you know what I mean. Like,
well, I think that, like, it's probably a spell that they learned.
Hermione's
but I think
also a bunch.
Part of it is also her. It's not that he... Ron didn't say that's a complex bit of magic. He said you've got an eye for that sort of thing. So it's more the artistic part of it than it is the actual spell.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's like transfiguration or something like that. But I'm just like...
Or even a charm. Like, turn them gold for a little bit and then it'll wear off later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So Delia says this is why I'm not down with Ron Miney. The only reason she falls for him all the way is because of some pickup line book. Ron didn't actually try, not really. And then Amani says, and Hermione would never fall for something so obvious. Which is, yeah. It just seems, it just, yeah. I just, the romance. And I don't even hate Ron Miney. Partially because I feel like it was set up at least.
Yeah, we were
not to say it was well done, but we saw it coming.
Yeah.
Like, we at least got a chance to put our seatbelts on.
Right.
When we got in the car.
I mean, again.
And I think that it could, I also think that they could work if, like, so Delia says there's no emotional growth. Like, if we had certain things, but I think that, like, if she had given the characters certain, like,
if she had given them a whole year to be tortured over a hug.
Right. Like, I just think that she, it could have worked. And I think that that's often, like, why I don't have an issue with it. I think that, like, but I also think a part of it is also because of you have to do work to make it feel.
Yeah.
To, like, sit right with you. Because, like, in my head, I'm like, well, he grew. Like, they complement each other in some ways. And so that could have, you know, manifested in whatever.
Because in your head, he did grow.
Right.
But
also, that's, like, me doing that work, not actually what's in the text.
It's not in the...
But she's just is not a romance. She just can't do it.
She cannot.
It's just, like, wow.
It's really bad. It's awful.
So he realizes this and he catches Jenny's eye and grins at her before remembering his promise to Ron. And I'm like, damn, she can't have friends.
Guess what? Hey, guess what? Hey.
Chicken butt.
No. But also your bench as well.
I'm bench?
Yeah, you and Imani. I'm running tally.
What did I do?
She can't have friends. You know what you did. Don't.
Why can't she have friends?
Move on.
Okay, moving on. So Mrs. Weasley comes through with a giant beach ball sized snitch, which Harry realizes is his birthday cake. So, like, even though Harry was like, Mrs. Weasley, I'm looking you in the eye. Do not do hella shit. Don't do it. And she's like, it's cool. I got you. I'm not going to go all out. I'm going to be conservative
mm-hmm.
in my celebrating and my planning and in my cooking. I'm going to, you know, reel it in. But here, have a giant birthday cake shaped and decorated as a snitch.
I mean, but to, like, be just, honest, it's really,
I love it.
If she's good at fondant and she has a good, like, you know, eye for it, I'm sure already,
fondant is much easier with a wand as right. well.
Like, it's just a couple of cuts.
Yeah.
And some shaping. They do that shit on Bake Off in 20...
They do. They even, like the kids can do it. There was, like, one random day where I ended up watching a kids' baking championship mm-hmm. marathon.
That's
and they knew how to do that shit. They were, like, 11.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I feel it. I just love that, like, she really... Like, that's one of my favorite things with Mrs. Weasley. He's like, no, don't make a big fuss. It's fine. And she's like, no, it's cool. I just made this entire cake from scratch and then decorated it and all that.
Yeah, I didn't make a fuss at all.
No,
it
was nothing. Nothing at all.
Really?
While everyone's in my kitchen, I did all
yes, this. Yes, this is why my mom's house is called the Burrow.
Yeah.
My mother is Molly Weasley.
Factual.
In a lot of the ways. In the out-of-pocket ways, because she is that as well. And in all of the lovey ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mama will hit you with the Oprah said, girl. If you don't stop reading Rita Skeeter, like, come on. Well, I saw on The View that, no, woman, no. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then Harry's like, that looks amazing, Mrs. Weasley. Oh, it's nothing, dear, she said fondly. And over her shoulder, Ron gave Harry the thumbs up and mouthed good one. He hasn't read the book. He just is being a genuine human being
right?
who said, wow, the cake that you just made from scratch and made into a snitch looks amazing. It just does. Why does he have to be trying to get some from Mrs. Weasley? That's weird. Why? She's not trying to charm her. He genuinely thinks that shit is cool.
And he's also just a genuinely charming person like you are, Ron. Ron, guess what? You're naturally charming. You're just also trash. If you just stopped being trash... The charming would be
I'm in
better.
Distress. What is this? Like, it's dumb. That's what it is. Let's get to the stuff that is less dumb.
Yeah.
So, man, the first half of this chapter is like, wow. And then the last half is
wow.
Wonderful. Wow. Yeah. In a different way.
Yeah.
So then Hagrid shows up wearing his Harry Brown suit. Remus smiles when he shakes Harry's hand, but he thought he looked rather unhappy, which was odd because Tonks was simply radiant, and that's because somebody got a baby. Mm-hmm. Got herself pregnant. So, there's that. And then...
Having my baby. It's none of your business.
And I'm just like, y'all, I never heard, like, you're gonna be this upset, but, like, you ain't heard of... Never mind, we'll get there, because we don't know yet that she's pregnant, and so we'll save that for the bride. 17, eh, said Hagrid. 6 years to the day since we met Harry. Do you remember it? And then Harry's like, didn't you smash down the front door, give Dudley a pig's tail, and tell me I was a wizard? And Hagrid's like, I forget the details. He's like, I don't know about that. I just know we met. And then he says that he's been busy at Hogwarts with newborn unicorns and that he'll show them when they get back. And I'm just like, how does no one, like, at least assume or at least think a little bit in the back of their head that, like, Harry at the very least wouldn't be coming back to Hogwarts?
Because they're living in a fantasy world. Living in a fantasy. Okay, listen. Mm-hmm. I gotta stop. Okay. I don't know.
So then Hagrid gives Harry a small, slightly furry drawstring pouch with a long string. It's moleskin, which you hide anything in there and no one but the owner can get it out, which is super nifty, if I do say so myself. And then Hagrid's like, it's nothing, after Harry thanks him, and he says, and there's Charlie, always liked him. Hey, Charlie. So then Charlie shows up and is like, hey, Hagrid, how's it going? Been meaning to write for ages. How's Norbert doing? Norbert, Charlie laughed, the Norwegian Ridgeback? We call her Norberta now. And then he's like, Norbert's a girl? Oh, yeah. How can you tell? Asked Hermione, which I'm just like, aren't there, like, never mind. They're a lot more vicious. They're a lot more vicious, said Charlie. And then he says, wish Dad would hurry up and get here. Mom's a little edgy. Because they're waiting on Mr. Weasley, who's still at
the ministry.
But now it's getting late, so she's like, is he good? You know, because, again, we're in a Voldemort world.
And everyone's clock is on mortal peril at all times.
And then, a Patronus flies into the yard, a bright silver weasel, which stands on its hind legs and speaks with Mr. Weasley's voice. Minister of Magic coming with me. So that's a way to party poop.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be here, said Remus at once. Harry, I'm sorry. I'll explain another time. He seizes Tonks' wrist and pulls her away. And they climb over the fence and vanish.
Just was like
Remus and Tonks,
peace out.
Just awful.
Just, also though, I just keep seeing the Homer Simpson, like, backing to the...
Right.
Like, we gotta go.
Deuces disappears. Oh, they'll just have to climb over the hedge and over the fence because, like, they can't apparate over there. But, like, they would have if they could.
Or the little baby one that they run into the room and then turn right, like,
turn around
and run back out.
Like, ooh. No thanks. So then Mrs. Weasley is like, the minister, but why? I don't understand. A second later, Mr. Weasley appeared, accompanied by Rufus Scrimgeour. He's sorry to intrude, he says, especially as I can see I'm gate-crashing a party. His eyes linger for a moment on the giant snitch cake. And he says, many happy returns. Harry's like, thanks. And then Scrimgeour says he needs a private word with him, Ron, and Hermione. And so then they go into the sitting room. But Scrimgeour kind of comes in just, like, barking orders. He's like, you can lead the way to Ron. There will be no need for you to accompany us, Arthur. But it's just like, yo, this isn't your house.
So. Right. And that's, like, that's not your kid.
It's not your kid. Like,
talk to my child that way. You have to mind.
Have some respect. So Harry's, like, trying to rack his brain, like, why does Scrimgeour want to talk to the three of us? And he's like, he must somehow have learned that they were planning to drop out of Hogwarts.
Which, again, so I'm with Biana, is just common sense at this point. Like,
I just feel like there's no other option. Like, all the shit that they did just to get him to the Burrow, and they think he's just gonna be able to ride the train, and I just don't understand. But again, I know, the Wizarding World and logic, they don't mesh.
Yep.
That's why they had Mundungus on that damn mission. So they go inside, Harry flicks his wand at the oil lamps as he enters. And you know, look at him using nonverbal magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, growth. I have some questions for the three of you, and I think it will be best if we do it individually. If you two, Scrimgeour points at Harry and Hermione, can wait upstairs, I will start with Ronald. Who and they're like,
huh, are you talking to?
Like, we ain't going nowhere. You can just talk to the three of us all together. How about that? And then Scrimgeour's like, fine. I'm here, as I'm sure you know, because of Albus Dumbledore's will. Yeah, and they are like, no idea what you're talking about. Never experienced that emotion. And they're like, then he says, you were not aware that Dumbledore left you anything? All of us, said Ron. Me and Hermione, too. Harry says, Dumbledore died over a month ago. Why has it taken so long to give us what he left us? Isn't it obvious, said Hermione. They wanted to examine whatever he's left us. You had no right to do that. I had every right, said Scrimgeour. The decree for justifiable confiscation gives the ministry the power to confiscate the contents of a will. That law was created to stop wizards passing on dark artifacts, said Hermione. She's out here like, I don't care who you are.
Mr. I know the law. What?
Okay? Like, let's not...
I moonlit as a wizard attorney for Hagrid not that long ago.
When I was 14.
Mm-hmm. I know the law.
So, like, don't come for me. Mm-mm. Okay? And she says, are you telling me you thought Dumbledore was trying to pass as something cursed? Are you planning to follow a career in magical law, Miss Granger? And she says, no, I'm not.
Bars.
I'm hoping to do some good in the world.
I have that on a shirt.
Isn't that HPA?
No, it's Jordan Bean.
Oh, lit.
I wonder if the HPA has one, though. Both are good options. I would get that.
Yeah. So she's just like, you know what? How about you? He really thinks that he can come for her. And she said, I did not
send
for you. Didn't ask. Didn't even say your name.
Go ask your homegirl, Rita, about coming for me.
Like, how about that?
Go ask your side chick, Dolores, about what happens when you come for me. For moi. Mm-hmm. Does not end well. I don't care.
Talk to Rita Skeeter. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are people.
Right? Talk to Dolores Umbridge.
Ask about me.
They know my name.
Okay. So then Harry says, why have you decided to let us have our things now? Can't think of a pretext to keep them. No, it'll be because the 31 days are up, said Hermione. They can't keep objects longer than that unless they can prove they're dangerous, right? Would you say that you were close to Dumbledore, Ronald? Asks Scrimgeour. He's like, I'm losing control of the situation. Let me just flex or whatever. Ron, me? Not really. It was always Harry who... And then he stops when Harry and... When he sees
Harry and Hermione being like, give him the
stop talking now. Like, bro, you see how I'm coming.
Right.
Why are you not matching my energy? Like, what's happening here? So then Scrimgeour says, if you were not very close to Dumbledore, how do you account for the fact that he remembered you in his will? And my thing is like, why is he so pressed about what Dumbledore's doing?
Whoa!
Like, that's not your job.
Sorry, I'm on some stuff I found out in the chat, because that play.
You can ignore that. That play.
Just when you think that play couldn't get any worse, like.
Yeah. No thanks. But yeah, I'm just like, why are you interrogating
children
them about Dumbledore? Like, that's not, you doing nothing with Dumbledore and his will is going to have anything to do with Voldemort. Like, it has, you know, it has to do with Voldemort and what he's leaving them, but like, it's not going to help you in any way. And you just interrogating him, having him followed, doing all this shit, like, you're just focused on the wrong person. And that's why you got folks infiltrating the ministry.
That's why your ass is about to be dead in a minute.
It's just, like...
That was mean, but also...
I mean, but true. Not wrong.
But I want to just go... Delia says, shout out to Hermione out here with the facts. She knows a lot, and sees right through your game. She ain't playing. And then she becomes a minister and hides the last time Turner in her bookcase.
Nope.
And rants into his desk.
Let's leave that alone. Okay. I don't remember that happening.
I don't remember that part either. But she does know the law.
Mm-hmm. Indeed does.
And the HPA does have a shirt. And it's cute. No, I'm going to cop it.
So then he says, why do you think you were singled out? Ron's like, I don't know. When I say we weren't close, I mean, I think he liked me. You're being modest, Ron, said Hermione. Dumbledore was very fond of you. She's trying to course correct, because she's like, you already messed it up. And Harry's like, this is a reach, but I'm not going to say nothing. And so Scrimgeour then reads from The Last Will and Testament of Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore. To Ronald Bilious Weasley,
Lion Brian, my Deluminator. To his friends. Sorry.
Yes. Lion Brian. To Ronald Bilious Weasley, I leave my Deluminator in the hope that he will remember me when he uses it. So, the Deluminator, in case you're unaware, is what was so fondly named in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
The Put Outer.
So, you know, Joe said, I'm going to go back to the drawing board and find out a better name. Because Put Outer was not the one. So now it's Deluminator. It's a very valuable object, which may even being unique. Certainly it's of Dumbledore's own design, says Scrimgeour. Scrimgeour says, Dumbledore must have taught thousands of students, yet the only ones he remembered in his will are you three. Why is that? To what use did he think you could put use to his Deluminator, Mr. Weasley? Put out lights, I suppose, mumbles Ron. What else could I do with it? Scrimgeour had no suggestions, so he moves on. He says, to Miss Hermione Jean Granger, I leave my copy of the Tales of Beedle the Bard in the hope that she will find it entertaining and instructive. So he passes her a book that looks as ancient as the copy of The Secrets of the Darkest Art. The title was in runes, so Harry can't read it because he had never taken that class. So then he's like, why did you think Dumbledore left you that book? He knew I liked books, said Hermione. And she's like starting to get emotional. Did you ever discuss codes or any means of passing secret messages with Dumbledore? No, I didn't, said Hermione. And if the ministry hasn't found any hidden codes in this book in 31 days, I doubt I will. To Harry James Potter, I leave the snitch he caught in his first Quidditch match at Hogwarts as a reminder of the rewards of perseverance and skill. And then Scrimgeour's like, why did Dumbledore leave you the snitch? And Harry's like, for the reasons you just read out, probably. I don't know. Like, why are you asking?
Ask him.
He's like, and so then he's like, you think this is a mere symbolic keepsake? And Harry's like, I guess. Like, I don't know, bro. I noticed your birthday cake is in the shape of a snitch. Why is that? And Hermione laughs and she's like, it can't be a reference to the fact that Harry's a great seeker. That's way too obvious. There must be a secret message from Dumbledore hidden in the icing. And then Scrimgeour's like, I don't think there's anything hidden in the icing, but a snitch is a very good hiding place for a small object. You know why, I'm sure. And Harry's like, I don't know, like, I don't know nothing.
Nobody tell me nothing, sir.
Just call me Jon Snow, okay?
Right?
I know
the
zero things.
The beauty of this is that he actually really does not know.
Exactly.
No clue.
Absolutely no
He's
clue.
He's like, could you tell me though? Because I'm about to embark on a journey in which knowledge could be power. So if you would like to tell me, I will take that. I will take these lessons.
Mm-hmm. So then Hermione says, snitches have flesh memories. And Scrimgeour says, correct, a snitch is not touched by bare skin before it is released, not even by the maker who wears gloves. It carries an enchantment by which it can identify the first human to lay hands upon it in case of a disputed capture. Which is smart. You know? When you don't have videos.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like,
but that also
roll
just
back
seems
the
like
tape.
It shouldn't be that. It should be like a well-known thing.
Right, and that's the thing. So both Harry and Ron are like, what? And they're surprised that Hermione knows, but then also...
Ron's been watching Quidditch his whole life. How do you not know?
They have no idea. They have no idea.
How do you not know? It's like the same thing where when you watch soccer, like, so there's a sensor in the ball and in the goalpost, so it knows if it crossed over. This might only be in the World Cup, though. It may not be in all... But whatever, because, like, sometimes the ball will cross the plane or it'll hit off the post or something, but it'll hit off the inside of the goalpost, not the outside of the goalpost, and so it helps.
Yeah.
Or the tags, like when you're a marathoner. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, technology, sporting technology, and yet we all know that. Amani says better than VAR. So much better than VAR.
Like, it's just, yeah.
But yes.
So, the snitch will remember your touch, Potter. Dumbledore might have enchanted the snitch so that it will only open for you. And Harry's like, oh shit. Like, uh-oh. And then Scrimgeour's like, perhaps you already know what the snitch contains. And Harry's like, nah, no idea. Then Scrimgeour passes it to Harry. Nothing happens as Harry's fingers close around the snitch. Its tired wings fluttered and were still. That was dramatic, said Harry. Both Ron and Hermione laughed. That's all then, is it? Asked Hermione. Not quite. Dumbledore left you a second bequest, Potter. The sword of Gryffindor. So where is it? Said Harry. Unfortunately, the sword was not Dumbledore's to give away. The sword of Godric Gryffindor is an important historical artifact, and as such, belongs to Harry, said Hermione. It chose him. According to reliable historical sources, the sword may present itself to any worthy Gryffindor. That does not make it the exclusive property of Mr. Potter. And then he's like, why do you think Dumbledore wanted to give me the sword? Said Harry. Maybe he thought it would look nice on my wall. This is not a joke, Potter, growled Scrimgeour. Was it because Dumbledore believed that only the sword of Godric Gryffindor could defeat the heir of Slytherin? Did he wish to give you that sword, Potter, because he believed, as do many, that you were the one destined to destroy he who must not be named? And I'm like,
how about you do your job and find out those answers for yourself the next time on Dragon Ball Z? Like, why don't you...
Why aren't you talking to Harry about
this? Do that work.
Interesting theory, said Harry. Has anyone tried sticking a sword in Voldemort? Maybe the ministry should put some people on that. You know, instead of stripping down Deluminators and covering out breakouts from Azkaban. Mm. How about that?
How about that?
He said, this is what you've been doing, shut up in your office? People are dying and you're just, you know, stripping a will? That's crazy.
Voldemort chased my ass across 3 counties. Mm-hmm. Where was
killed Mad-Eye Moody. Y'all ain't said nothing about Mad-Eye.
Where was you?
And he's like, you know, famous. And you expect us to cooperate with you?
Mm.
You go too far, shouted Scrimgeour. And I'm like, does he though?
Or
is he just telling you facts?
Because he poured you some tea. I think that this is like amazing hospitality. You crash Harry Potter's birthday party and he sits you down and serves you tea. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't think of a better, more hospitable, like, thing to do.
Poured some tea, read you like a book.
Right.
Like, you know.
On his birthday.
That's what one does. On his birthday.
Set you down, got you comfortable. What you talking about?
Crazy. So then Scrimgeour jabs the point of his wand into Harry's t-shirt. Ron jumps up with his own wand and Harry's like, nah, bro, like he's gonna, do you want to give him an excuse to arrest us? Remembered you're not in school, have you? Said Scrimgeour. And I'm just like, you're gonna arrest Harry Potter? Don't act like you're gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you may wear that scar like a crown, Potter, but it is not up to a 17-year-old boy to tell me how to do my job.
Well.
It's time you learn some respect. It's time you earned it.
Oop.
Period.
Oop. And then Hermione said, bloop!
Hello.
It's right there on page 130. Go back to the text and read it.
Okay, so then Mr. and Mrs. Weasley run in. Like, we thought we heard Ray's voices. Scrimgeour, you know, he has a woo-song moment. He says, it was nothing. I regret your attitude. Bye. You seem to think that the ministry does not desire what Dumbledore desired. We ought to be working together. I don't like your methods, Minister, remember? And he raised up his right fist. I must not tell lies. Showed white on the back of his hand. Scrimgeour's expression hardened. And so, like, obviously all that Umbridge stuff did not happen while he was minister, but he didn't do anything to stop
Umbridge. Is she still working there? Then.
She's still working there. She has a high position.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like the system has changed, and I think that Harry is very much aware of the fact that just because, like, the person changed, it doesn't mean that the system has changed.
Scrimgeour
keeps thinking, he keeps approaching Harry thinking that he's, like, this kid who'll just think, oh, you're not Fudge, so
right.
Whatever. But...
And he also, like, the first time he approached Harry, approached him on some of the same shit that Fudge did. Like, they didn't even... It was actually very... Wow, very similar to the way that Harry approached Slughorn, which was like, let me come in doing the same exact shit as Tom and see if that gets me what I want. And it's like, you can't use the same methods when he obviously, like, it didn't work with Fudge. Just because you have a different face doesn't mean you haven't made any substantial changes.
Mm-hmm. Really have not. So then... they go back. So then Scrimgeour leaves. They go back to the dinner because, you know, it's still Harry's birthday and they're supposed to be celebrating. Excuse me. The three objects Scrimgeour had given them were passed from hand to hand. Everyone's just like looking at it. No one really knows what it is, but you know, they're just like speculating. And then after the celebration, Harry tells Hermione, to meet he and Ron upstairs. Up in the attic room, Ron examines the Deluminator and Harry fills Hagrid's Moleskine purse, not with gold, but with items he most prized. So the Marauder's Map, the Shard of Sirius's Enchanted Mirror, and RIB's Locket. Hermione walks in, uses the Muffliato spell on the door. Ron's like, I thought you didn't approve of that spell. But Hermione's like, nigga, we're in the year of Voldemort, so...
Times change, motherfucker.
Okay. So then, now she says, show us the Deluminator. And then she says, the thing is, we could have achieved that with Peruvian Instant Darkness Powder. Still, it's cool, said Ron. I know, but surely he wouldn't have singled you out in his will just to help you turn out the lights. And then Harry's like, you think he knew the Ministry would confiscate his will? And Hermione's like, definitely, he couldn't tell us why he was leaving us those things in the will, but that still doesn't explain why he couldn't have given us a hint while he was alive, asked Ron, which is not wrong.
Amani is typing.
So then Hermione's like, she's looking through her book. If these things are important enough to pass right under the nose of the Ministry, you'd think he'd have let us know why, unless he thought it was obvious. And then Ron's like, clearly it's not. What, like, I'm confused. I don't understand why. And then Hermione's like, what did Scrimgeour think was gonna, or she said, when Scrimgeour made you take the snitch, I thought something was gonna happen. And Harry's like, well, I wasn't gonna try too hard in front of Scrimgeour. And is like, y'all remember the first snitch I ever caught? And Ron's like, ooh, I know. It's the first one you almost swallowed it. So then Harry's like, right. So he presses the snitch to his mouth. It doesn't open. But Hermione notices writing on it. The writing says, I open at the close.
Ooh.
And so Hermione and Ron are both like, I don't know. They're just kind of like repeating it, you know? And the sword, said Ron. Why did he want Harry to have the sword? Why couldn't he just have told me, said Harry. If he wanted me to have it, why didn't he just give it to me when I was in his office? And then Hermione's like, and as for this book, The Tales of Beedle the Bard, I've never even heard of them. So before we get into that, I will say that, like, Dumbledore is interesting because he spent all that time telling Harry about Horcruxes, right? And, like, one of the things that he leaves, we'll find out later, like, the Sword of Gryffindor, can destroy Horcruxes because it's been imbued with the basilisk's venom from when Harry killed the basilisk. And so that's why he left it. But at the same time, two of these three gifts are about Hollows.
Yeah. And he never brought that up.
But he never brought it up. So it's very much so like the snitch has the resurrection stone inside of it. And then Tales of Beedle the Bard has the original telling of the Tale of the Three Brothers, which is
the
Deathly Hallows. And so then there's, you know, we'll later get to the moment in Shell Cottage where Harry is having this moment of like Horcruxes versus Hallows. I don't know what to do. And then I think like when he makes that decision, he's very much like Dumbledore told me about the Horcruxes. But in my head, I'm like, if Dumbledore told you about the Horcruxes and you're choosing that, then why then choose like, why then would he bring up the Hollows at all?
Because I think afterwards he thinks Voldemort has the Horcruxes. That's his insurance policy, but he thinks he's going to go after the Hallows. So if you know what Voldemort's going after, like you still have to get rid of all the Horcruxes because that's how he dies. But you also know what he's thinking and what his like plans are. And you can thwart those as much as possible. And Dumbledore knows he can thwart those as much as possible because he has all the Hallows. So.
Right.
Like. Or he thinks he has all the Hallows. So. Like. Have you ever played that game Assassins?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. But my school did.
Yeah. So it's like you
need to, like, you have the name of the person that you're going after, but you also still need to be thinking about who might have your name.
Who's coming after you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have to, like, be of two minds. Like, I need to, like, focus on getting my person, but I also need to focus on not getting got. Mm-hmm. And so who has who? Am I, like, oh, so-and-so got taken out by so-and-so, so that means how many other people are in the game? You know what I mean? It's just a bunch of chess pieces moving around. And I think that that is what Dumbledore is trying to get at, is, like,
yeah,
you need to focus on killing these Horcruxes, but Voldemort's going after the Hallows, so if you can make that more difficult for him, in while you were, like, your main focus is destroying Horcruxes, like, do that at every turn.
Mm-hmm. Bet.
So. But in a very Dumbledore way, in which it's very hard to, like, unpack all that shit.
And he, like, there are things he could have just said. Yeah.
And also, he could have told the ministry. No, maybe he couldn't have told the ministry. Never mind. Like, I was like, he could have just been like, Ayo, Mad-Eye, at least. Maybe not the ministry, but Ayo, Mad-Eye. It's starting to look like Bruh's going to go after these Deathly Hallows. And whether you believe in them or not, he does. So, mm-hmm. like...
Just collect.
Yeah. Do something about it. Yeah. Misinform. Misdirect. I don't know. But, like, let other people know, and that could be a thing that, like, the Order knows about. It doesn't mm-hmm. need to be as tight of a secret.
Right.
The ministry doesn't need to know, but, like, the Order should know. Like, everyone, it benefits everyone if they all know that Voldemort's going after
Hallows. At least the Elder Wand, because I don't think he knows about the Hallows. I think he's specifically after the Elder Wand, and he doesn't know about the Elder Wand within the same, like, lore as the other two.
Oh, okay.
He's very much, like, Grindelwald is the one who was going for after Hallows.
Mm.
And Voldemort is using Horcruxes, but he's looking for the Elder Wand because he knew that that was, like, the...
unbeatable wand.
Yeah, that. It's hard to even say Grindelwald and not think about some bullshit. But anyway, it doesn't matter
right?
at the time. Sorry for bringing it up. You've never heard of the Tales of Beedle the Bard, said Ron? You're kidding, right? No, I'm not, said Hermione. Do you know them then? Well, of course I do. Harry looked up the circle because he's like, well, since when has Ron known something and Hermione didn't? That's wild. Oh, come on. All the old kids' stories are supposed to be beetles, aren't they? The Fountain of Fair Fortune, the Wizard in the Hopping Pot, Babbity Rabbity and her cackling stump. Excuse me, said Hermione. What was that last one? Come off it, said Ron. You must have heard of Babbity Rabbity. Ron, you know full well Harry and I were brought up by muggles. We didn't hear stories like that when we were little. We heard Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and Cinderella. What's that, an illness? Said Ron. I really love this part.
It's so funny to me because, like, these parts, I love them too. But, like, the differences between muggles and wizard-born children, I feel like would be the only things I talk to people about if I was muggle-born.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the first, like, year or two.
But I also think that, like, if no one has mentioned Babbity Rabbity, right? Like, and I think... Hermione is often looking for, you know, she's reading textbooks and she's learning about, like, the world in general. And I don't, you know, it's easy to overlook something like childhood stories. And a lot of these people, so, like, Ron says that he doesn't know what the original versions are. They're just, like, stories his parents told him.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, they may have changed. It's, like, a thing that you have in your childhood and then you don't really think about it because in your head everyone's, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can see how it wouldn't come up. Especially someone who, like Hermione, who is not, like, going out reading fairy tales.
Yeah.
That's just not, like, her
genre. I just feel like I would be the kind of kid that's like, what did y'all eat? What did you do? Like, I need to, like, immerse me in your culture. Like.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that one of the things I like about, like, having the three of them is I like in the moments where, like, two of them have this connection that the other one doesn't. So, like, Harry and Hermione are both muggle-raised. Harry and Ron are, like, both, not even just past, like, both boys, like, they're best friends. It's, like, the first person that Harry ever met, and so they have, like, in the wizarding world, and mm-hmm. they have, like, this connection where they're basically brothers. Ron and Hermione go together or something, and so they each have a thing.
Yes.
So then, something creaks downstairs, probably just Charlie, now that Mum's asleep, sneaking off to regrow his hair, said Ron. All the same, we should get to bed with Hermione. It wouldn't do to oversleep tomorrow. And then Ron is like, no, a brutal triple murder by the bridegroom's mother might put a bit of a damper on the wedding. So then he clicks his illuminator as Hermione leaves the room, because now he's got his own clapper. Okay,
clap on, clap off.
I wish.
So it's really funny because Maggie says that if Dumbledore really wanted them to work it out, he should have had them doing puzzles and word problems for extra homework. And it goes, that part again goes to my idea of like, or I think you said like he should have been training all three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Because I think that even if there were things that he didn't tell them, which, you know, like I'm putting that aside. Like, even if there were things that he didn't tell them, at least they would know they had all the same information. And I also think that, like, Hermione is very smart and can surmise some things.
Yeah.
You know, like, she'd be able to read between the lines, even in moments where she knows that they're not, like, where Dumbledore is not specifically telling them something. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
This feels like he's setting them up for something. It's not necessarily success. To fail, but it's not, they have a lot, they have to, a lot of work they have to do.
Yeah.
When after Harry spent all that time with him, like, it just feels like they should have less work to do. But also, you know, that would make for a boring story. So
that is very true. All right. Cool. MVP?
Hermione Jean Granger.
Nice. Because
you know, the clapbacks, the tea, the read. You know, we know that she loves a good book.
Mm-hmm.
And Scrimgeour popped up and she was like, oh wow.
Let me read.
It's my time.
Let me read you, okay? Like a good book.
I'm ready to read. That's all I've ever wanted to do. That's my jam. So come at me. In addition to just being prepared, you know, she swooped up Harry's gifts and was like, got you, packing them, we're ready. Like, she's and like, I just love that she hasn't even told them that she's like, or told them what she's done or like how she's packing. She's just like, I'm packing.
Yep, ready to
and
go.
And they're not even thinking about that shit. They're not even thinking about being ready on. They're just letting her do everything.
They're like, and after the wedding, then we'll get it all together. And she's so, like, we don't know. Get ready or stay ready so you don't have to get ready, right? That's the motto.
Mm-hmm.
That's the motto of the prepared witch.
Exactly.
This one was hard. It was like a tie between Harry and Hermione for me because...
Mm-hmm.
Of the clapbacks, and since you chose Hermione, I'm gonna choose Harry. Like, that's literally
okay.
I've benched a few people, so I figure I will only MVP one.
Yeah, but
and it was really the clapbacks, and being so like thankful for to Mrs. Weasley and like genuine,
mm-hmm.
and being actually charming without having to read a book,
right. Okay, just like, you know, yep. treating someone like a human being,
yeah.
being appreciative just because you are appreciative.
Just being know? A good human.
Yep.
And not wanting a cookie about for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we have Maggie makes Hermione her MVP for being versed in wizarding laws and using that knowledge to push back against improper use of ministry power and for already doing good in this world. Already. Mm. Currently doing good. Delia MVPs Harry sassier than a motherfucker Potter, reading Scrimgeour to filth, and Hermione was back there hyping him up like, yup, bars. And Amani MVPs Hermione. She deserves it, but shady Harry dropping bars will always have a place in his heart. So
accurate.
Yeah, we're all on similar pages.
Same page.
Read, and the MVP is yours. Who did you bench?
I benched Scrimgeour because I need him to sort out his priorities. And, like, other people were doing other things, namely Ron and, like, J.K. Rowling's writing. But, like, Scrimgeour, I just feel like in terms of the scheme of things and in terms of, like, the overall plot and the endgame and defeating Voldemort is just, like, what are you doing, bro?
I really need you to stop saying endgame. This is very emotionally fraught for me.
Sorry. My fault. My fault. You're right.
Like, you said it a couple times, and every time I'm like,
I wasn't thinking about it.
I know you. I know, because it's a popular.
But you're correct.
Popular term that Marvel was just like, guess what?
But yeah, no, I just think that he is not putting the resources that he has at his disposal to the correct things, and it's part of the reason why Voldemort was able to infiltrate the ministry so easily.
Agreed. So I benched you because you're out of pocket. I benched Amani because he's out of pocket. I gave Delia a bench, but I'll leave it because I've already benched. I benched basically. I benched the chat because y'all, I got no chill. And then on top of that, also and as well, I benched Ron because he's just like off. He's just off. Like the pickup line book, the cock blocking the sister and Harry, the yelling at Harry and not giving Ginny any agency. And then like Scrimgeour comes and then like he just is like not quick on the come up. And like of all this, like now is the time in which I need you to be a step ahead. I need you to be quick. I need you to not miss a beat. So Ron has to like be benched for that.
I feel that.
So Maggie benches Scrimgeour for daring to crash Harry's birthday for political reasons. Mere weeks after disturbing Harry's grieving at Dumbledore's funeral for political reasons, he needs to go back to charm school. I didn't even think about that. Like, he did.
It's true. This is like, yeah.
Pull him aside for Dumbledore's funeral. And then,
like,
3 weeks later, back at it, same ask. Delia benches Ronald Bilious Weasley for being heavy on some patriarchal bullshit, fam. Why does he need a pickup book to try and manipulate Hermione into liking him when he's known her for years? It should not be that hard.
Seriously. I just feel like if it's going to be that hard, you should just let that one go.
Yeah.
Just be friends. That's fine.
I feel like I should, like, take a deep breath, drink some water, and get prepared for this one. Imani benches the raggedy-ass ex-headmaster who can't be bothered to lift a finger against staff bullying his students, but has time to be petty and manipulative while passing clues under the ministry's nose from beyond the grave, when you know good and goddamn well the people you're giving them to don't understand. Also, you know why you gave him the Resurrection Stone, Albus? Because you still didn't tell him he's a Horcrux and has to die, and you need to trigger his trauma again to get him to do it willingly.
Oh my god.
All that last part was in all caps.
Ooh, child.
A whole essay. Ooh, chale. Delia gives him a standing ovation, and I just want to also reiterate that I did bench Imani earlier, before that, because chill.
That's hilarious. Cool. Thank you for listening. Next week, we will be discussing Chapter 8 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Wedding. Make sure to follow along and let us know who you think is the real MVP and who was benched for the chapter. Join the conversation on Twitter, @WeBlackAndNerds, #WizardTeam, join our Slack, join our Facebook group, read our fix, get ready for Black Wizard History
Month. Have a wonderful start to your new year. Have it go on an adventure, change the world, see a show, go watch Spider-Man again. All the good
mentally
things.
Prepare yourself for Game of Thrones and Avengers.
Ugh.
Because that's like, now, you know. We're on the
We have Captain. We have Captain Marvel to look forward to.
That's true. That is.
Let's do that first.
And then, it's going to be intense.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Cool.
Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye, y'all.